Jensen Button, Life to the Limit. Written by Jensen Button and read by Jack Hawkins. You'll think I'm making this up, but it's true. My first memory is of cars. Toy cars, Corgi, Matchbox, Hot Wheels. Our landing at home was a long one, and I used to set up tracks, complete with corners, turn one, turn two, turn three, where trucks raced Lamborghinis. They both raced Formula One cars, and sometimes the trucks even pulled off an unlikely victory. From downstairs wafted the smell of cooking, maybe the sound of music drifting from one of my sister's rooms, and me on the landing, creating a world where a truck could outpace a Lamborghini if that's what I wanted it to do. I was born in 1980, so for me those are the sights and sounds and smells of the decade. This was home. Home was Northcote Crescent in Frome, or if you're using your best Somerset accent, which I'll do on request, Frome. It was literally the first street you came across as you drove into town. It curved up and away from the main road, changed its mind and then went back again, the way crescents do, with bungalows on one side and two-story detached houses on the other, modern for the time. First on the right, in one of the detached houses, technically the first house in Frome, was where we lived, the Button family. Mum, Simone, half South African, blonde and glamorous, having made the transition from stop the traffic gorgeous when she was young to an even more rarefied beauty in middle age. My memory of her back then is in the kitchen cooking and baking, bathed in light and wreathed in aroma. She'll probably have a go at me for saying that. I wasn't always in the kitchen, gents. Why did you say that in your book? But that's how I remember the early 80s version of her. She thought frozen food was the devil's work, so we had proper food every night, and for Sunday lunch she'd really go to town. A full-on roast, complete with potatoes cooked in duck fat and all the trimmings. She was so caring, so affectionate, hardly ever lost her temper or raised her voice. It's only relatively recently that I've heard her swear, and even then only when she's talking about other drivers in Formula One. Later on, when I moved into F1, she used to come to the races. The British Grand Prix was her favourite. That was her race. When I retired, she said, "I won't watch Formula One when you're not racing, gents." But she does. She watches it all the time. I just can't not watch it. I don't know why, because it frustrates me, but I still watch it. I wonder these days if I might have taken advantage of Mum's good nature when I was younger, which is another way of admitting that I know full well I did. I think we were all guilty of it. We'd be a bit ruder to her than was right. We didn't show her as much respect as we should have done. I'd say something to her that I knew would hurt her feelings and then afterwards think, why did I say that? I guess it's common with families. It's because your blood and the things they say annoy you more or in a different way than other people, so you snap at them and then afterwards feel really bad about it. You're like, why did I get stressed out about something so small? These days, I try to spend as much time with Mum as I can, but that isn't much, to be honest, given the fact that she lives alone in Somerset and I live in Los Angeles with my girlfriend. It's sad in a way, because obviously me and my sisters have all moved away and my sisters have their own families. I'm a bit of a disappointment in that regard, so Mum can get lonely, living by herself. Then there were my three older sisters. The eldest, Tanya, was proper fearsome. She flew the nest when I was 5. She was 18 by then. That left my middle sister, Samantha, who's quite punchy, again, you probably wouldn't mess, and Natasha, who's very sweet, very soft, maybe too soft for her own good, both of whom had left school by the time I started. So fat lot of good they were.